Is it sometimes a little hard to see through the smoke? Do fire service, rescue, and EMS issues work you up just a bit? Maybe more than just a bit? If they don't, check your pulse. It's normal for firefighters and responders to get worked up over hot issues when you love the job so much. Deputy Fire Chief Billy Goldfeder, Firehouse.com commentator and Firehouse Magazine columnist, hosts Through the Smoke, an internet broadcast and podcast that addresses issues impacting all firefighters, such as safety, health, and morale. Don't ignore the issues and maintain the status quo. Take an interest in issues that impact you, the frontline responder. Join Billy, special guests, and firefighters around the country and the world regularly on Through the Smoke, only on Firehouse.com.
We are here with a group of firefighters, police officers, EMTs, paramedics, nurses, and their families to talk about FirstResponders.com, the website devoted to the financial life of first responders. Excuse me, what's your name? Okay, Jim, tell me, what do you like best about FirstResponders.com? Is it the credit card that tells everybody you're a first responder, or their competitive mortgage rates? Oh, it's the Responder Rewards Program. Exclusive discounts you and your family get from hundreds of retail outlets, from home improvement to electronics to clothing. Up to 40% off. Great. Is this your little doggy? Hey, buddy. Everybody seems to love the benefits of FirstResponders.com. Right, everybody?
You speak your own language, we speak it too. That's because FirstResponders.com was created by first responders. With benefits like great mortgage products, discounts at retailers, and the First Responders credit card, it's not just a credit card, it's a badge. FirstResponders.com, giving back to the people who give.
Welcome. This is Through the Smoke on Radio at Firehouse.com. I'm your host, Billy Goldfeder. If I sound a little rough, it's not the phone connection. I'm battling a little bit of a head cold here. I'm actually in Los Angeles today. I'm honored to attend the first annual Firefighter Cancer Support Network fundraising gala dinner that they're having tonight in downtown L.A. And should be kind of cool. Jay Leno is going to be the host, and he's volunteering his time. And there's going to be all sorts of cool activities that I hope to report to you and tell you more about in the future. But today, our focus is on the new fire chief of the Charleston Fire Department. It's time for the next chapter in the City of Charleston Fire Department. And we've been following, all of us, nationwide, worldwide, what happened in Charleston in June of 2007 when nine firefighters, Captain Billy Hutchinson, Captain Mike Benke, Captain Lou Mulkey, Engineer Mark Kelsey, Engineer Brad Beatty, Assistant Engineer Mike French, Firefighter James Earl Drayton, Firefighter Brandon Thompson, and Firefighter Melvin Champagne all tragically lost their lives in the line of duty while operating at that now infamous Super Sofa Store fire where just so many things went horribly wrong. And as we've said since we started talking about this and sharing what happened down there, and as much as it's important for the Charleston Fire Department to learn from this, it's just, or even more so important, for all fire departments to take the lessons learned from the Rattler reports and apply those or use them as a template to your own fire department to determine if that could happen here. The reason I say it's almost even more important for other departments is Charleston Fire Department has the motivation. It was their firefighters that lost their lives. When we're not directly impacted by a loss of life such as that, meaning directly meaning a part of our own department, it may be easier for us to forget or move on from. Clearly, the Charleston Fire Department is nowhere in our lifetimes ever going to forget, probably ever, of what happened. But those of us on the outside who are not Charleston firefighters, or those of us who are not directly impacted by any specific line of duty death, being that they're not a part of our own department, it's easy to say, well, that won't happen here. Or that would, you know, that was Charleston. But we really, one of the greatest things to come out of the of that fire is the Rattler report. And to use that as a template is a free gift to honor the firefighters who were killed in Charleston in 2007. The Charleston Fire Department is clearly a good team, and the firefighters specifically are a great team who want to do good. They didn't intentionally do this. They didn't want anything bad to happen. No one wants that. And they took some pretty hard hits over this, sometimes justified, sometimes not. But the issue is they need a head coach. Unfortunately, the coaching staff let these firefighters down. The leadership of the organization let the firefighters down and allowed them to feel what they were doing was right. And unfortunately, those who spoke up and perhaps said maybe there's a better way to do it were not necessarily always met with open doors. But it's a new day in Charleston now. Chief Thomas has retired, and the mayor has taken upon himself, working with council as well as the firefighters, including the local union, went out and started looking for a new fire chief. And that's who we're talking to today. The lucky, and I mean that, the lucky candidate, and when I say lucky, it's good for Tom Carr, currently fire chief of Montgomery County, Maryland, who we're going to talk to in just a few minutes, because he has an incredible opportunity to take something and really mold it into what he feels, and probably knowing him, what the members feel should be the future Charleston Fire Department. But also, it's a lucky time for the Charleston firefighters. I can't imagine, and not because I've been friends with Tommy for many years, but I knew most of the candidates. And quite honestly, I can't imagine anyone more qualified, not just on paper, but with the right demeanor and the right attitude in dealing with people to take this team to the new level that that they're going to go to. So this is a very positive thing. So, Tom, this is Chief Tom Carr, Montgomery County, Maryland. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Billy, and I'm really excited about this opportunity to serve the city of Charleston.
It's going to be some opportunity. You're going to have some real smiling days and some head-shaking days, but I get the impression in talking to many of the, and I have not really reached out to any of them, but through our website, Firefighter Close Calls, or guys just reaching out and making a phone call, some retired, some currently employed, there's a buzz of excitement down there. I know the local is very excited. The IFF local down there is very pro having you come down there. And even some of the officers that served under the former regime are very excited that the new coach is coming to town. But before we go talking about Charleston, let's talk about your background and in depth share with those, I mean, what you're able to and what you want to share about your background. How did you get started in the fire service? Where did you and what ladder did you climb to end up being actually the first fire chief of Montgomery County, Maryland? Previously, there were fire rescue directors, which were quasi-fire chiefs, quasi-administrators, and also coordinators of the multi-tiered service that's in Montgomery County. But share with us your background.
Okay, sure. I started as a volunteer and really developed a passion for rescue work, and I started at Bethesda Rescue Squad and did a lot of squad work there and got enamored with that. That was before the hearse tool days, and we were doing the old duck bill thing, and that was, you know, what we did, and pretty cool stuff. And along the way, I became a paramedic. And
was this still while you were as a volunteer?
While I was a volunteer at BCC in 1976.
So BCC is the Bethesda Chevy Chase Rescue Squad, which for our listeners, and I'll put a link on this show so you can click some of the things that Chief Carr is talking about, but it's one of the largest and busiest rescue squads in the country, not to mention in the D.C. area.
And mostly volunteer. And still to this day, they really do a tremendous job, and they're part of Montgomery County's system and the combination system, and really a stand-up group. And so I got a lot of experience there. It was busy, and ultimately I realized that what I wanted to do was be a firefighter, and I applied for a job in Montgomery County and became a firefighter paramedic, and had a great career in some real busy places, and spent some time doing strictly medic work and spent some time doing fire work, but mostly always heading back to the rescue world. And my first officer-level promotion was to Rockville, which back then we worked for the independent company, so it was Rockville Volunteer Fire Department. There's 19 independent companies within Montgomery County, and now, as Billy said, under the new law, there is one system, and I'm the fire chief of the entire system. But back then, there was really 19 separate systems, although we could move between each of the components freely. They made the decisions. The organizations made the decisions. So I was promoted to be the rescue officer at Rockville and spent 11 years riding Rescue Squad 3, which is a very busy rescue squad, still is to this day, and honing my rescue work and getting into new things, trench rescue, confined space rescue. Ultimately, that led to urban search and rescue, and I was fortunate enough to be involved, as your listeners probably know, the urban search and rescue program nationally was developed so quickly because the feds allowed it to be a grassroots developed program. So they went out to folks who were doing that kind of work in the universe of fire service and asked people to come and help put together the urban search and rescue program. And I was fortunate enough to be involved in that from its inception. And that evolved both to the national program, and there were many of us from across the country, by the way, involved, you know, dozens right. and dozens. And also led to us having one of the early teams here in Montgomery County.
Now, I have this vision, and I don't remember where it's at, but I remember you, and I think you're either a lieutenant or a captain. We are at some conference or some convention, and you were setting up in the hall a rescue scenario, whether it was a crash or a plane crash or a...
Yep.
Do you remember where that was? But, man, I have this vision.
I did three of them at three different IFC conferences. Actually, one was a FDIC conference, two at an IFC and one at a FDIC. It was, we did a trench, simulated trench rescue. We did a vehicle collision, and we did a structural collapse. And they were great. Yeah, I mean, it took a lot of work, but they were real attention getters and stimulated conversation. And we weren't selling anything. We were just selling the concept of, looking at these rescue issues and thinking about how you would deal with them. And really a great experience.
So you were rescue when rescue wasn't cool, sort of.
Yeah, kind of like that,
back.
I guess. And so from there, I went from the rescue squad out to that was day work, and when day work wasn't cool, and I went to be a station commander at a station with an engine and ambulance, and spent 3 years there, and then got promoted to battalion chief, and moved into more administrative functions, and started out doing labor relations and things of that nature, including developing or putting together our bargained wellness fitness program, which is a program that we're really proud of that's very comprehensive, following the IFC-IFF model. And we now do mandatory physicals, annual physicals for career and volunteers. We started the volunteer mandatory physicals about a year, going on 2 years ago, and well-received. Initial fear was that we were going to have a negative impact, but we've identified so many people with issues that have been resolved early and literally saved lives that the program has really been embraced, and I'm really proud of that. It's very effective and had huge impact on people's lives.
Let's touch a little bit on Montgomery County Fire Rescue today. So you started out as a volunteer, transformed into a career firefighter, worked your way up the ranks, and the opportunity came up, and the county charter was changed, I guess. Were you actually went in, you were never the director, you were actually the first fire chief, is that correct?
Yes, I was, at the time that the legislation was put forth, I was the chief of the career personnel, which back then
That's
was
right.
almost 1,100 people,
okay.
but not of any volunteer personnel. So, and the career personnel operate within the volunteer stations, as I've already described. So
right.
that was the position I was in, and then this legislation took place, and they did a national search, and I was selected to be the first fire chief.
Okay. So you really had a chance to bring two distinct groups doing the same job together, not unlike the Charleston Fire Department, where there's the union and the non-union, and I understand now all but a very few have joined the union, and relations down there are very positive, and we'll get to that afterwards. But your ability to bring people together from different points of view, I'm telling you, for the listeners that are not familiar with the Washington, D.C. area fire service, some of the busiest and best companies in the country and best firefighters, clearly, and the run volume is phenomenal. But the diversity and the way the quote-unquote systems operate, some are not systems. They call them systems, but they're not. They're absolutely, as you described, 19 different ways of doing things sometimes. So your challenge in Montgomery County, and the reason I want to talk about Montgomery County for a while, is because what you have done in the past is pretty much indicative of what you're going to do in the future. I mean, generally it is anyway. When someone comes in, you're chosen for what you've accomplished so far in your career. And these different services and systems, man, how did you pull it off? Because for the most part, seems to be that everybody's pretty much reading off the same sheet of music up there. I mean, you got good days and bad days, I'm sure. But for the most part, it's truly the Montgomery County Fire Rescue Department, services provided by career and volunteer firefighters.
Yeah, and I'm real proud of the troops that that have embraced the system. And the key for me, it's no magic or which end's the peanut end. The deal for me is listening to folks and hearing what their issues are and concerns and being open and honest and respectful. I think that goes a long way, and that's sort of my mantra is, you know, open, honest, respectful communications, two-way communications, but focused on me listening and detecting what the real issue is. In many cases, that's not as easy as it sounds. And then working through that and doing that often so that little issues don't become big issues. And truly, I focus my whole effort from day one on that communications piece. And that's why it's worked, because I'm responsive. If somebody calls me on a Sunday evening, I'm on the line with them. If somebody calls me on a Saturday morning, I'm on the line with them. You know, it takes a lot of effort to bring folks together. I mean, we had 40 years of bad blood, honestly, and certainly I had been here 35 years, so. You know, I grew up with these folks and knew that we could have an impact if we just came together. Now, we weren't going to change the you know, diehard volunteer and the union steward's opinion about one another, but at least we could bring them together so that they would find it okay to work together, be in the same fire station and run the call together. And we focused a lot on how to do that. And one of the things that I'm really proud of was a program that we put together called Command Competencies, where we put command officers, we have volunteer and career command officers, and we put them through an annual evaluation of their command performance. And we developed a system using senior career and volunteer folks, and I told them, put blinders on and write me a test, write me a program that, without knowing who you're next to, you know, blue, green, white, black, right, male, female, if they can pass this test, you'll be comfortable working with them. So they did that, and we put in place a test, an evaluation that includes a computer-based Blackboard test that they take annually, and all the reference material is included. So they just read the reference material and answer the test, and once they pass the test, then they can have a laboratory evaluation, which we've designed a command development center after the Phoenix model, and then they have an annual peer evaluation in the field. So what this does is it continues that communications, that bringing folks together, that people finding comfort with one another together, and I believe that's the reason I've been successful, and we as an organization are doing pretty well. We don't have the conflict that we had for 40 years, and you know, it's all about listening and determining what the real issue is.
Well, you know, again, for the listeners, I've had the opportunity on a couple occasions, and most recently was able to visit your command training center, and my understanding it is that, let's say I'm assigned as a battalion chief today, so I'm out doing my job. I very potentially could get a phone call saying you're out of service, you're being covered by someone else. a report in your buggy to the command training center. The garage door goes up. I pull my car in. I'm hooked up into the command training center, and I'm given a scenario to deal with. Do I have that pretty accurate?
That's exactly right. Garage door goes up, and it's right before you.
Amazing that they're actually doing it in the vehicle. It's not cleansed. It's not, you know, in some places it's all tabletop and stuff, and certainly you have a outstanding tabletop scenario there. But just the fact, those of you listening, imagine that. You're out in your car. The chief calls, says, hey, you're out of service right now. Pull your vehicle into this bay at the command training center. We'll plug you in. Here's the fire. Let's see you manage it. And the scenarios are challenging scenarios. It's not basic stuff, although it could be. But man, what an outstanding way to operate. It's not intimidating as much as it is learning. It's not like you're fired that day if you don't do well. They enhance your training. They work on certain things if you need improvement. But it's just an opportunity to provide the best, what I call assistant coaches out in the field who are dealing with the day-to-day responses. That's a pretty cool operation that way.
Yeah, we're proud of it, and we found it very effective. And you're right, it's not, nobody gets disciplined. It's all about being supportive and remediating folks that need remediation and making them leave there more comfortable than they came in. And in the time we've been doing it, we've only had one person not do well, and they self-selected out. They said, it's time for me to stop being a command officer.
Uh-huh.
And everybody else, there have been people who've had issues, but we have remediated and they've retested and been good, and we keep our eye on those folks. And, you know, it's been a very, very positive thing. And from my perspective, it's getting us all on the same page. And I listen, like many folks, to the radio all the time, our talk groups. And what I hear now is a consistent command presence. It is consistent from person to person, from shift to shift, from volunteer company to volunteer company. It sounds the same on every call, and I think that is so critical to being effective, so that everybody understands what to expect and everybody understands what the game plan is. Like you say, the coach putting out the game plan. You know, there it is, and it's the same every time. And we've gotten pretty daggone consistent, and I'm really proud of that.
I can't overemphasize or underline or bold how important that is, because I imagine you're in your own community, for those listening to the show, and the fire at your house is fought based upon what shift is working. If B shift's working, oh, shit, forget it, you're screwed. But A shift's working, hey, they'll do a great job because they trained. And what you've done is create one fire department, no matter what shift is working, whether it's a career officer in charge, whether it's a volunteer officer in charge. The other day, I was listening, and actually you and I were talking about it, the May Day you had in Rockville, where the kid self-escaped self-rescued after he fell through the floor. And listening to the radio traffic on that, you have senior officers arriving on the scene, but not necessarily taking command, allowing the primary officer to continue to run the incident. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that does say a lot, especially if you understand the history of Montgomery County Fire and Rescue, where it's come from. You wouldn't imagine that 20 years ago.
That's for sure. And it's, you know, we discourage senior ranking officers from taking over. In fact, what we've established is that we call officers, command officers, certified command officers, and we don't worry about what rank they are. So you can be a battalion, a deputy, an assistant chief, and we call them certified command officers, and the guy that starts the show sticks with the show, and the other folks belly up to him, either jump in the car with them and work with them or take assignments on the scene. And that is just so powerful, because you maintain continuity. The game plan that the first guy implements, the line of thought that developed that great game plan, is known to him and only to him. And he's able to follow through, as opposed to switching as, you know, higher-ranking officers show up.
Right.
We do have a couple of caveats that allow a kick-out. When certain officers show up, they are allowed to say, oops, things aren't going well, I'm going to step in. Rarely does that happen. I can only think of one or two times that's happened. Most of the time, they just complete the team as additional command officers arrive. It's just been very effective in taking mayhem and developing a consistent approach to command.
Well, it certainly speaks for itself. You talk to, I know obviously a lot of the folks in your service, and everyone's pretty pumped until they found out you're leaving. And that's where we're going now. The road to becoming the chief in Charleston. So you, I can tell you that I was standing in my kitchen in that June evening in 2007. My phone rang along with my buff pager almost at the same time, and a Charleston fire officer called me and says, you're not going to believe this. We've got some members trapped, and history, of course, we now know what happened, and the phone calls continued, and the notifications went out. Where were you, or when did you first find out about the fire? And then basically what I'm asking you to do is just from the fire to today, what's the road to Charleston? What was your road to Charleston? How did you end up being and getting ready to go as the next chief? When do you start, by the way?
Start the first week in November.
Okay, first week in November. So there's a lot going on right now, getting ready to pack and move, and certainly lots of emotion. But let's jump back to a year and several months ago. Where were you when you heard about it? What were your thoughts? And let's let you just talk about all the way up until today.
Okay. I was in Ocean City, Maryland, at the Maryland State Firemen's Convention, annual convention. I was actually with Ron Sarnicky, the director of the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
Sure.
And we probably, the first thing we saw, I'm going to guess, was from you. And everyone paused, and, you know, certainly we had thoughts for those firefighters. The initial reports were not of nine, but of an unknown number, as I recall.
Right.
And with time, it continued to get worse. So that was my introduction to the incident.
Right.
I went back to Montgomery County and wrote, as the information came out about the fire, and they put together the Routley panel at some point. Well, early on, within the first week they were there, I think they put forth an initial report for some immediate actions.
Now, and one of your your chief PIO, Pete Perringer, was a part of that panel, so that
yes.
gave you some interesting insight, I would imagine.
Yes, it did, and certainly, you know, I had some perspective of what was going on from Pete's perspective, and like the rest of the country, I mean, we every day followed this thing, and certainly, as always, anytime there's a tragic situation, we want to learn from that, and we want to find out what happened and make sure that we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's in our own organization. So we were all following what was happening. And at some point after that initial report came out, I wrote a letter to the mayor and copied the chief and invited the command staff from Charleston to come up and see what we were doing from a command perspective, because the initial report certainly emphasized the command deficiencies, or at least indicated that there were command deficiencies.
And your motivations were pure. Look, we have something here that might help you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly there was no thought of, you know, the fire chief was the fire chief down there, and there was no
sure.
thought of that at that time. It was just reaching out. We thought we had a tool that was a good tool,
right.
and it seemed to fit their issue. So I sent the letter. It was like on a Tuesday. Thursday, I heard from the mayor's staff, and Monday, the first group of four was in Montgomery County, and they sent four up every week until their entire command staff, including the chief, had come through. And we had a tremendous time. I mean, it was, you know, we met them, the first group, and I said, you know, guys, this happened so fast that I was sort of wondering here while waiting for you to arrive kind of what we were going to talk about, what it was going to be like. And they said, you know, the same with us. We said, what the heck are we doing going here, you know?
Right.
And but instantly the ice was broken, and we established a strong relationship. And, you know, I think all our folks quickly recognized these guys are the same as us. They put their pants on the same way we do. They're good firefighters. They're interested. They're motivated, and they're really, you know, focused on doing the job, but with the resources that they had and with the environment that they were working in. So
you and your staff must have been. And I had the same experience in talking to many of the folks from the chief officers on down. They are firefighters, and you can plug them in anywhere. But my impression, and you must have been taken back in talking with some of the folks who thought what they were doing was the right thing, but yet, unfortunately, in many respects, they were decades behind what much of the fire service had moved forward with.
Yeah, I would say those initial visits where we had sort of planned out a couple days that focused on command and things at that level, we quickly realized that what we need to start with was water supply and flashover simulator and things of that nature. And after the first week, we modified the program to have more focus on that and give them exposure to that and LDH and bigger lines and things of that nature and forward lays and we while they were with us, they stayed in firehouses and ran calls, so they got to not only, and we're a pretty busy organization, about 104,000 calls a year. So they got an opportunity to ride with chiefs and catch some fire and saw how we, not only how we told them we did it, but how we actually did it. Hopefully those two are the same thing, by the way.
Right.
From a chief's perspective, I hope it is. and so that was very powerful. And, it was amazing because still to this day, my troops who interacted, and they interacted with many of the folks, every night when they were riding, with command officers, they went around to stations and had dinner at different places. It impacted our folks as much as it impacted their folks, and it was very, very positive. And it was something that impacted our organization in a very positive way.
So that was your first real introduction, other than as a visitor in Charleston, to the Charleston Fire Department. Really, the inner workings of the Charleston Fire Department by getting to know them there. So one day you read that Chief Thomas has decided to retire. Where did it go from there?
Well, I heard, and I sort of, my thought wasn't about being chief there. My thought was just of interest that things were changing there, and that was I was curious, and I finally saw the announcement. I guess it was maybe a month later, and I thought about it. Now, I have to say, full disclosure, my parents live in Charleston, so I'm a
right.
I'm a Charleston person. I'm there several times a year anyway. So that piqued my interest, the fact that I could put in for a job that might take me home to my parents as they become seniors.
Now, so they retired to Charleston from Montgomery County?
They did. They
okay.
In 1982, they went to Charleston. My mom is from Charleston, and my dad went to the Citadel. So
oh,
they
okay.
were.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It all fit for them. And so I started thinking about it, and I read the information. I said, well, my daughter's a senior in high school. I maxed out on my retirement here in Montgomery County. I still planned on working here 5, 6, 7 more years. But I thought, This is interesting. This is my place, the place I want to retire to, by the way.
That was where you wanted to go.
It was. We had planned, my wife and I, since day one, had planned to go to Charleston when we retired.
But you're hardly retiring now.
Hardly retiring, and that's okay, because I'm not ready to retire.
Right.
It works. It works. So I put in, and
yeah.
put my application in. I think there were 140-something people. 12 or 14 of us got video interviews with the headhunter, and then they invited 7 of us down to the city to spend 2 very vigorous and grueling days with interacting with the community. And what a process.
Can you share some of that?
Yeah. What I really got out of that, and you'll see as I describe it, was that this – was not just hiring a fire chief. This was hiring the guy or gal that was going to take them somewhere, and the community was invested in this decision. As an example, the first day, the seven of us candidates did three public forums. The first was with the city council, and it was lunch, and we each provided a little vignette about ourselves, and then we sat and had lunch with the council, the full council, and everyone showed up, even though it was lunchtime and they do council stuff at night. Everyone made a specific effort to be there and was there, so I was impressed with that. That afternoon, we had a session with the Charleston firefighters, and I would say a good at least 100, if not 125 or 50, showed
wow.
up. It was very impressive, and we provided a little presentation again regarding our status in life. And then just it was an open forum of us wandering through and talking to folks, and it just was very powerful. They were very excited and very interested, and just great, great folks. And then that evening, they had an invitation-only community opportunity to interact, and I would guess that 300 people showed up at that, and we stood in a receiving line.
Goodness.
And the people went down the line, and these were community members. I mean, I just can't imagine that happening here.
Wow.
And you could tell in talking to them, they were really, truly engaged, and they really cared about their fire department, their firefighters, and they wanted the best thing for Charleston. And
well,
that
you know,
was just day one.
Well, before the fire, they had a great fire department, the way they felt.
Yes.
If I'm coming across appropriately. And they did, because it worked up until then, even though the tactics and the skills and the trainings and abilities were not where they needed to be. It worked, and then something horrible happened, and it was a horrible wake-up call that went across the nation, and certainly in Charleston, and in many respects brought sadness to Charleston, and not just in the loss of the guys, but sadness about their fire department. So all these people showing up says that they really do care. That's a very positive thing. And so you've already got whoever got the job at this point. You guys must have been thinking, whoever gets this, it's got one hell of a lot of support here.
Yeah, I was just every interaction with the community then and since then has further affirmed my decision to apply and pursue this. And, you know, I've got a lot of folks up here in Montgomery County who are saying why and, you know, not happy that I'm doing it. But I just feel totally comfortable that this is the right thing to do. The opportunity to work with these great folks and to help nudge them along a little bit is just tremendous. And I think they just, you know, they want some direction, some leadership, and some, you know, they're just ready to go. And
right,
that's
why you get people showing up at these meetings. So what
exactly.
was the next day like?
So the next day, then, we had three interviews. One interview was with the mayor, one-on-one. The second interview was with the Public Safety Committee of the City Council. And the third interview was with a panel of the Human Resources Director, the Police Chief, the Acting Fire Chief, and a member of the community. I'm not sure what his role was.
Uh-huh.
So three interviews, and that was it. And I dragged out of there to the airport. We were all dragging. I mean, it was an intense 2 days, but it said so much about how serious they were about getting the right person in their community to help them take the next steps. And I went back a couple weeks later when the mayor did his announcement, and stood with the mayor as he did.
Okay, so that was the interview process. You got a phone call. Basically, you said if you wanted it, it's yours.
Yeah, the end of that week, I guess I got a phone call that Friday night, and the mayor said, I'm going to announce it on Monday. Can you be here? And I said, sure, and hopped on a plane and flew down Monday and had a great, Mayor did a great press conference, and then We went and met with the local newspaper editorial board, and then he said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to go to fire stations and talk to the troops.
Great.
And interestingly, he broadcast the announcement on the radio system.
On the fire radio system.
On the fire radio system.
The mayor himself made the announcement?
The mayor himself broadcast on the
radio.
Give me
that microphone.
Exactly. And he took it and ran and did a great job. And so then I spent the afternoon in fire stations talking to the troops. And I just, you know, it was after that, of course I'd already been announced, but it was after that I got on a plane to come home and I said, I have made the right decision. This is super place with super people. The mayor and the community is committed to making this work. And so, you know, that's where we are. That takes us to today and packing and cleaning off my desk here and loose ends and all the things that go with it.
So what can the Charleston firefighters look forward to? First month, first 6 months, first year?
Well, the critical thing is the same formula that I used here. The first month is communicating, getting my finger on the pulse, seeing what's going on, listening to their world. What's it like on the back step of a Charleston fire truck? What's your perception of where we are and where we aren't? And getting to know the folks and determining, you know, what the formal and informal leadership structure is of the organization, and establishing relationships, and that'll take a full month for sure. What I did here, and I'll do it there, is I go to every fire station, every shift, and sit at their kitchen table in their environment, as opposed to calling them to me and sitting in some big room and saying, "Can
right.
you hear me now?" I sit with each shift at the kitchen table while they're drinking their coffee, and say, tell me about your world, and I'll spend the first month doing that, and that'll help bring to light where we need to go from there. And in assembling my leadership team, I will certainly, I think it will become clear as I go through this how I should assemble my leadership team, and I certainly have some ideas, but I'm going to wait till I get down there and go through this and. For me, that's the best way to figure out what's going on. That's
very
you know,
good.
I like to do it that way.
So you're going to size up?
Size up, absolutely.
And determine your strategy and tactics.
Exactly. Well put.
You grew up with the Montgomery County folks. You did not grow up with the Charleston folks.
Right.
So in Montgomery County, if you were dealing with, I'll just make up a name, Jay Nicholson, that's Jimbo Nicholson's son, and you grew up with Jimbo, and you guys used to run together, so you know how to solve problems by dealing with it through people that you've known for a long time. This is different. You're going into a brand new environment, clearly a bruised environment, riddled with emotion, not just the loss of the guys, but where are we going? What's my future going to be here? We've been stretching 1.5 inches forever. Now we're going to have to move to this here or that there, or these changes. Now, my impression is the great majority of the Charleston Fire Department is pretty positive so far about the changes that have occurred prior to your arrival. So I don't know if it's going to be as difficult as some might seem. Maybe it will be, maybe it won't be. But it's a different dynamic going in clearly as the outside guy. Any thoughts about that?
Sure, and certainly, this is not, I've not come to this decision without sleepless nights, I assure you, and apprehension about what I'm doing. I've been here, including my volunteer time, over 35 years,
right.
And I've never worked in another department, but I feel good about this. It feels comfortable. I think the leadership style that I've come to know is mine here is an effective style for the situation that they're in. I leave here with butterflies, but comfortable that I can go and apply that style and work well with those folks. And yeah, I'm going to go there basically knowing nobody. A few folks I've had some interaction with, and some of them that came up here to our Command Development Center are still around, but it's a fresh start, new town, and fortunate I have some exposure to the town, but it's a new world as far as work goes. But I'm excited about that. I like challenges. I like change. You know, I'm one of those people that's not afraid of change, and you know, I'm excited. It's invigorating, and it's interesting. I didn't notice, but my troops are noticing that I'm walking around smiling, and you know, and they keep saying that, and of course they're not real happy with that, but you know, it's very, very positive. The challenge is something that I look forward to stepping up to, and it won't be easy. I know that, but I think I've got a grip on what needs to be done, a grip on the concepts that we can apply to get going. And
I think
and
it's
really
gonna be
relying
easier
than... on. I'm sorry.
Sorry, couldn't fish what you're saying.
I'm relying on what's already there. I mean, this is not throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know.
Right.
Chief Thomas led a fine department, and these are great people, and you know, it's taking advantage of what's good to go and massaging what's not, and you know, that's the opportunity that I look forward to.
You know, Leo Stapleton, in I think it was his first book when he wrote Commish, there's a great statement in there that people in a position of leadership, you get about 8 years. And then you have to either effect drastic change or it's time to move on and allow somebody else to take over. And as you said, Chief Thomas did do a fine job in many respects and got the department both positively and negatively where they are today. But it's time for new leadership, a new coaching staff, and that's what's happening here with your opportunity. To come in there. What you failed to mention, and if your parents are listening to this, you need to remember also that you'll be able to save some money when you move down there initially because you could be home at your mom's house now to have dinner every night.
Yeah, 54 years old and moving home.
Is that what you're going to do initially?
Initially, yeah. But while my wife and daughter are up here, I'm going to move in with them. It's great. They're excited.
I think they are absolutely thrilled. I'm very, very close to my family, as you know, and I can't be more than 15 minutes away. Now, my son's over there, not far from you, as a firefighter,
mm-hmm.
So that's challenging to me at times because we're very close. But to be back and bring your family back together is a great thing. Let's talk for a minute about the non-Charleston Fire Department environment, the community, the media. I think for the most part, the media has done a pretty good job down there. I know I've been called several times by the Post and Courier folks, and never been misquoted, and it seems that they're buying into these changes that are needed there as much as anybody, and also the other area fire departments. I understand in the past relationships were not at all what you're used to. I mean, if anyone understands the Washington D.C. area, for the most part, responses are seamless between states, between jurisdictions. A house fire gets the closest four engines to ladders, no matter where they may come from.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the environment down there. So maybe you want to chat about, you know, everything from rotary clubs to the media to other area fire departments. Any thoughts on that?
Sure. First, the media. And it's always been sort of a back-of-the-mind dream. I am so excited about going to community where it's the city fire department. I've always in D.C. We're one media outlet, but we have 11 fire departments. So everybody's competing with everybody else for airtime and educational opportunities. And you know, with Pete Perringer as my PIO, you know, he's out there beating the bushes. But to go and be the fire department of the city. And have in the city have, you know, the newspaper, respected newspaper, and four television outlets. I really am excited about it because I really believe that there's so many messages that we don't do a good job getting out. And I think we can get their attention. I agree with you. I think they've done a good job in dealing with this tragic situation, at least from a distance. Now, I'm not seeing it from their perspective at
right.
this point, but what I've seen certainly has been positive. And They sent media up when the folks came up here to Montgomery County, the command folks, so I got to have some interaction with them. In addition, this past weekend at the Fallen Firefighters Memorial Service, they sent a reporter from the Post and Courier, the newspaper, up, and they spent a day with the folks in Montgomery County, separate from me, just, you know, my folks, but, you know, just interacting and finding out about how I did things as chief. Then they went to the memorial service on Sunday, and then they came back and spent Monday with me, just followed me around for a day, going to county council meetings and other meetings. And so I'm very impressed with them and their desire to properly represent the fire service in Charleston. As far as the Lions Club and Rotary and all that, again, I think the community is really engaged, and I look, certainly there's been a tremendous amount of media about the new chief, and I look forward to engaging the community and taking advantage of that honeymoon and that opportunity to get them engaged in the conversation that leads us to talking about prevention and you know, fire safety and things of that nature, and hopefully to some of the legislative issues that need to take place regarding sprinklers and fire safe cigarettes and you know, the big things that are out there that we've worked through here in Montgomery County, but are still out there in many other communities.
What about other area fire departments? There's a number of departments that provide services outside the city. That border the city, the city's annexation in the past has been very choppy. And you can have little islands of city response areas that the city fire stations may not necessarily be the closest to. And you've also got the EMS component, which is completely separate from the Charleston Fire Department.
Yeah, when we did the community meeting, one of the, and it was invitation only, but one of the groups they invited was all the area fire chiefs. So I had the opportunity to talk to the area fire chiefs, and one thing that struck me was they're ready. They're waiting for Charleston. They're ready to go. They're ready to come together as a region. And of course, that's my passion here. I think we've done so much here in the National Capital Region, the Washington D.C. area.
Absolutely.
You know, we've become one and seamless, and you know, they're still dealing with interoperability issues and things of that nature. It's time to get that stuff taken care of, and it's time to be able to send the closest unit without regard to well, what color the trash can is. In fact, city trash cans are one color, and unincorporated trash cans are a different color, and that's how you tell who whose jurisdiction it is. At least that's what the troops tell me. So, you know, it's time to get over that and make sure the closest person is there to provide the service so that we can really take care of our community. So I think it's just great stuff. It's exciting. It's I'm passionate about this work, and, you know, I've always enjoyed my work, and I feel like this is just a great step to move forward and work together with those folks.
I know of very little enthusiasm on any side of this issue about you coming in, whether it be yours, whether it be those who are down there waiting. Obviously, your own Montgomery County has a new set of challenges now to see who's going to replace you, which is going to be one hell of a job. Let's go to one more question. The mayor, a colorful individual without question, runs that city without question. I just can imagine him grabbing that microphone and saying, "Give me that microphone. I'm going to tell the guys what's going on here." When he made his announcement, and my feeling is that the mayor will be the greatest cheerleader for you as long as he lets you be the fire chief. And I would guess, and certainly I understand if you can't go into too much detail, but I would guess that either you already understand that, and he understands that, or you've had the discussion that, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'll keep you informed. Let me run this department. Or is that not even an issue? Are you not even worried about that? And maybe the reason we see this mayor as being so hands-on is because maybe in the past it was necessary. And now in the future, with you coming in, it may not be as necessary. So I just I unloaded a bunch of thoughts to you there. Maybe you can give me some feedback.
Yeah, well, straight up, I'm going to be running the fire department, lock, stock, and barrel. And the mayor's my boss, and I'll go to him for support and resources. And I'm very confident. I'm very impressed with the mayor. Certainly, he's been mayor since 1975. He wants me to. He's hiring me because of my background, experience, and my leadership style. And that's not. He's not hiring me to tell me what to do, and he's not. He doesn't pretend to know what needs to be done. And all my discussions with him have been to that end, and have been very positive. And I mean, he's part of why I'm willing to do this.
That's great. That statement alone says a lot. Good,
absolutely. And my wife and I put together, a pro and con sheet when this all came up, and you know, he was on the pro side, and sometimes that's not the case, as you know, that the leadership is on the pro side, but he is, and I feel totally comfortable. I'm not concerned. He wants to do the right thing. He wants to make sure the firefighters of Charleston are taken care of and are supported and have the resources they need to be safe and to protect the community, and it's really that simple. So I'm super comfortable with that.
I really do. I do get that impression that that he felt things were good until that fire happened, and then it allowed him to open his eyes and see. And perhaps because he trusted the past administration, was not involved in it day to day, and then he had to immerse himself into it because it's still his fire department following the fire, and now he's ready to pass it on to the new coach, and the owner of the team will stand by and assist you any way he can. So that's a positive thing. Well, look, we're about out of time. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up, Tom?
No, I appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to talking to you maybe periodically about how we're doing, maybe a year from now or 6 months from now. I'm excited. I think that I would imagine that the whole fire service universe is going to be watching this to see what happens and how we work our way out of this tragic situation, and I certainly look forward to sharing that, and so that we can all learn from this terrible situation.
Well, maybe what we'll do is we'll plan on the first 100-day show, and we'll get you on the horn and see how that's going. But really, and I have no reason to suck up to you. You're an old friend, and so my statement is this, that I don't know of any better way, and this is absolutely no disrespect to anybody else who applied for the job, because they were very, very qualified and competent candidates. But between the work that the mayor and the members of the fire department have done so far since the fire, the work that Gordon Routley and his panel have done since the fire, and now the mayor's decision and your interest in the job, I don't know that there's any better way long-term. Short-term, we can have memorials and services, and we do. But I don't know that there's any better way to honor Captain Hutchinson, Benke, Mulkey, and firefighters Kelsey, Beatty, French, Drayton, Thompson, and Champagne, that having you go in there and function truly as the head coach here. So we wish you well. My Aunt Minnie would always say, walk in with your right foot. So on your first day of the job, remember Aunt Minnie, walk in with your right foot, and things will go well from that point on.
Great.
So again, thanks so much, Tom. We appreciate your time, and the best of luck, absolutely the best of luck, and the Charleston Fire Department should be very, very excited, as well as the community, about who this new chief's going to be.
And as am I, and thank you very much.
Thanks. Take care. You're listening to Through the Smoke, radio at firehouse.com. We've been talking to Chief Tommy Carr, currently the fire chief of Montgomery County Fire and Rescue Service in Montgomery County, Maryland, and very soon to be the new fire chief in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm your host, Billy Goldfeder. Take care. Until next time.
We are here with a group of firefighters, police officers, EMTs, paramedics, nurses, and their families to talk about firstresponders.com, the website devoted to the financial life of first responders. Excuse me, what's your name? Okay, Jim, tell me, what do you like best about firstresponders.com? Is it the credit card that tells everybody you're a first responder, or their competitive mortgage rates? Oh, it's the Responder Rewards Program. Exclusive discounts you and your family get from hundreds of retail outlets, from home improvement to electronics to clothing.
Up to 40% off. Great. Is this your little doggy?
Hey, buddy.
Everybody seems to love the benefits of firstresponders.com. Right, everybody?
You speak your own language, we speak it too. That's because firstresponders.com was created by first responders. With benefits like great mortgage products, discounts at retailers, and the First Responders credit card, it's not just a credit card, it's a badge. Firstresponders.com, giving back to the people who give.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.